We Catholics are not accustomed to asking, are you saved? Right? And if someone asks us, are you saved? We don't know exactly how to answer. Well, there's a quite well-known preacher and televangelist that always ends his service by inviting people to recite a simple prayer, something like, oh Jesus, I repent of my sin, come into my heart, I make you my Lord and Savior. You might know whom I'm talking about. And then he says, if you prayed this simple prayer, you've been saved. My feeling is, oh, it's too easy. It's too quick and too easy. He's right. What saves us is trusting in the Lord, making him our Lord and Savior. However, maybe there's more to salvation than a simple, quick prayer. On the other hand, there are those who make it so difficult to be saved. There are so many rules and regulations you need to follow to be saved. Just recently, I encountered someone, a good Catholic person, who tried to convince me that I need to take a public stand against holding hands during the Our Father. Some people hold hands during the Our Father. And this person told me, you know, this is forbidden. It shouldn't be done. Why, I asked? Well, it's not in the rubrics of the sacramentary, the book of the Mass. He said, yeah, but, you know, if the church did not create a dogma about holding hands during the Our Father, I think we should not over-legalize, you know, over-legislate. Let's keep it simple. See, there is a tension in the church, I believe, about these two tendencies. Being too strict, adhering too much to rules and regulations, and maybe being too lenient, too laissez-faire. Everything goes. The church of the first Christian community had to face a similar tension. They had to decide how to deal with the massive number of Gentiles that were converting to the faith. You know, Jesus was a Jew. The apostles were also Jews. The first community was made basically of Jewish people. All of them had been taught the Torah, the Mosaic law, and all of them tried their best, like any Jews of the first century, to obey all the rules, all the commandments, all the precepts of the Old Testament. But now that these Gentiles were coming in, and they were coming in droves, the question arose, do we need to apply to them also the same rules, or can we be lenient? It was a difficult question. Great tension arose in the church because of it. Once again, it was not of little importance. For any Jewish person, the Torah was it, was the absolute most important aspect of their faith, indeed of their identity. So there was a controversy. And what did they do? What we still do today. They had a synod. They called all the bishops, all the apostles, together with Peter, with the Pope, and with all the other elders or leaders of their communities. And they shared, and guided by the Holy Spirit, came up with this solution, which we find in today's first reading, a solution that is both faithful and creative, that both maintain the essentials, but at the same time that allows the church to reach out to these new members of the faith community. I like the way they put it. They say, the Holy Spirit and us have decided. The Holy Spirit, they are aware that it's the Spirit moving them. This is not a political game. It is not trying to bring factions together in a political scheme. No, we are moved by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and us, they say, have decided not to impose on you any unnecessary burden. I love this. Don't you? Not necessary to burden you with many rules. You know, sometimes we encounter people who have this idea of the Catholic Church. It's too involved in rules and regulations and do this and don't do that. It seems like many other churches are much more charismatic, following less rules and more following the Spirit. They say, we have decided not to burden you with too many rules. Just follow what is necessary. And they mention unlawful marriages. Well, the pagan society was known for incest, sodomy, and all kinds of weird stuff. So they said that should be avoided. They also mention the animals sacrificed to idols. There were many religions, paganism, they would sacrifice animals to idols, and eating that meat was equal to committing maybe a sin of apostasy or idolatry. Avoid that and avoid blood in strangled animals and so forth, something that was repugnant to the Jewish mentality. So just the basics. But they say, be open to reach out to these new members of the community. You know, this is so similar to what is happening today. You might have noticed that in the last 2 years, not even, the church has had two synods, one extraordinary synod and the other an ordinary synod on family, on the vocation and the identity of the family in the church and in the world today. And it was very controversial. It is very controversial. The Pope just published his post-synodal apostolic exhortation. I brought the book, but I left it on my chair. I started reading it. And you know what? In the media, and even in certain Catholic circles, people have already taken a stand pro or against it, without even reading it. Why? Some people think that the Pope should change everything about marriage, about the doctrine of the indissolubility of marriage, that marriage is for good, about communion to those who are in a second union and so forth. So since the Pope did not declare that, well, I'm not interested in what the Pope has to say. Others think that the Pope is too liberal, to use a bad word. He is too lenient, which is not true either. So they dismiss the work that has been done by the synod and the meditation of the Pope on these very hot topics. I actually love what the synod did and what the Pope is doing. They are following the same principle that the apostles applied in the year 48 when the Synod of Jerusalem took place. Not to burden with too many rules, but at the same time to maintain that which is essential, which is necessary. The Pope is inviting the Church to really reach out to those who are marginalized, to those who have become alienated from the life of the Church. The Pope keeps repeating, the Church must go forth, must reach out to those who are not here. We oftentimes are concerned with those who are here today, us. Well, there's a lot of people that are not here. And if we do not care about them, then we are not the missionary church of Jesus Christ, the church that invites everyone in. These are difficult topics, I understand. And I don't have final answers. And it seems that even the Pope is not giving, you know, very definite, dogmatic answers. No. It's an ongoing dialogue, but with that kind of passion to show that the church is indeed open. We have a beautiful image in today's second reading about the church. John has a vision and sees the church as a beautiful bride. Now, I think that many people, when they think of the church, they don't imagine the bride. They imagine a bunch of old cardinals, right? But that's what John sees, a beautiful bride. And it's a city, the holy, heavenly Jerusalem. It's fortified. He has massive walls all around it. Why? Because it needs to stand its ground. It's a city that is under siege, that is being attacked. And so it has to be solid. It has to maintain its ground. However, he says, that city has 12 huge gates, three on each cardinal point. Why? To let in those who are searching for God and to go out, to reach out to them. It's an image of the church that we can treasure still today. And this leads us to today's gospel. Once again, it's the same topic. Jesus begins by saying, whoever loves me will keep my words. Love comes first, not obedience. Oh, if you obey, then you show that you love. No, he says, first love me. Once you love me, then he will come to you to keep my word. And you will experience this indwelling of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will come to you and will guide you. We need to be a charismatic church, a church that is moved by the Spirit. We must be sensitive to the action of the Spirit in us. He's the one that knows everything and will guide us. So we need to be a trusting church, optimistic. Sometimes we have these gloomy thoughts about the church, oh, it's all about to end. Well, the Lord is with us. The Spirit moves us. He knows what we need to do. And on that point, let me close with a story. It's about an American engineer, mathematician, a great genius. His name was Charles Steinmetz. You can search him online. He, poor guy, he was born dwarf with hunchback, dysplasia of the hip. He was a mess physically. But his mind was brilliant. He, as I said, was a great mathematician. He was called the title they gave him? The Wizard from Schenectady. Well, he was great with electrical stuff. Well, it is said that once Henry Ford, the great founder of the Ford Motor Company, he had a huge problem in his plant, and they could not fix a huge generator that was running the plant. So after his engineer tried and tried and tried and could not fix the problem, they hired Charles Steinmetz. He asked for a notepad, he asked for a cot, and he slept for 2 days and two nights by that generator, listening to all the noises that it would make. Finally, he took a ladder, went up, and with a chalk made a mark on the generator. And he said, remove the cover and remove the coils from that section. They did that, and it was fixed. He sent in a bill, $10,000. In those days, that was a huge amount. So Ford asked him for an itemized list of, you know, why $10,000? I mean, you made a mark with the chalk, that was it. And he said, well, the mark with the chalk only costs you $1. But $9,999 is for the knowledge of where to make that mark. That's what the Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit does to the church. If we are able to listen, the Holy Spirit will make us a church that is faithful to the truth, but also outgoing, that is able to uphold the tradition, the dogmas, the doctrine, even the rules of the past, but at the same time able to reach out to those who are alienated, to those who are not like us, who do not share maybe the same background or culture or upbringing we do. I pray that as we come close to the Feast of Pentecost, and that's why the readings today begin to make us reflect on the gift of the Holy Spirit, I pray that we may experience a new Pentecost, that we may be moved by the Spirit to become this beautiful bride of the Lamb, this new Jerusalem, this city that is fortified, that stands its ground, but at the same time that it's open and welcoming to all. Amen. This is the book. Amoris Laetitia, the joy of love. That's the title of the book, Meditation on the Family.